want to speak a little bit about a perspective of Sfiras HaOmer that I don't think you'll hear somewhere else. So there's a famous machlokas between Tosfos and the Bahag. If you miss one complete day of counting, whether you continue counting or not, whether you have a mitzvah or not. The Bahag says that if you miss one complete day, you finish, you don't have the mitzvah anymore, there's no purpose to count anymore, and that's it. Tosa says, Tmiya, right, why should you lose the mitzvah? And you continue counting, according to Tosa, with a bracha. The halacha is that we're choshish for the sheet of the Bahag, and therefore, if you miss an entire day, you continue counting, because maybe the halacha is like Tosfos and there's still a mitzvah, but you can't say a bracha, because safek bracha slahakam. That's the way that most mefarshim explain this machlokas, is it depends on the shaila of Sfiras HaOmer is one big mitzvah with 49 parts, or it's 49 small mitzvahs. That's usually how it's understood. There's only one problem, and I've asked this question in the past, and this year somebody showed me the Shibuli Haleket in a second Nusach, not in the regular Nusach, but in a Nusach Sheni, asked this question and doesn't give an answer. He says, Avadai, Sfiras HaOmer has to be 49 mitzvahs, because if it wouldn't be, how in the world do you make a bracha every night? You don't make, right, 49 brachas on one mitzvah with 49 parts. You don't make four brachas on Esrog and Lulav because there's four parts to the mitzvah. You make one bracha. And my question is even stronger. He asked it on the Shibuli Aleket. And if it's all one big mitzvah, then how can you make 49 brachas? But I'm asking on the halacha. If we're choshish for the sheet of the Shibuli Aleket, but if you miss one day, right, you can't make a bracha anymore on the rest of the days because maybe you don't have a mitzvah, then how the chatchila do we make 49 brachas altogether? Because maybe it's one mitzvah with 49 parts, and on one mitzvah 49 parts you don't make 49 brachas. So every bracha except for the first one is a safek bracha levatol. That's the question. Therefore, I think that the machlokas is totally in something else completely. Everybody agrees that every day is a separate mitzvah. It's not the shaila. And therefore you can make a bracha every day. The shaila is, what is the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? Is the mitzvah counting each individual day? Right? Or is the mitzvah counting the accumulation of all the days till that time? The nusach of the Sfira is clearly the second way, even though I'll explain to you why it may not be a raya brura. We don't say hayom yom rishon ba'omer, hayom yom sheni ba'omer. This is the day one in the omer, right? This is the second day in the omer, the third day, the fourth day. But we say one day, 2 days, 3 days, right? You're counting the accumulation of all the days, not the third day, but 3 days. Now it could be that that's no raya, because there's a reason why they didn't make the nusach that way, the first day, the second day, whatever, in order not to make a toast with the tzedukim. The tzedukim held that Sfiras HaOmer always starts on Sunday. So if they were made the nusach hayom yom rishon ba'omer, people may think yom rishon means Sunday, and yom sheni means Monday. And according to the tzedukim, that's how it was. Every first day of the omer was yom rishon, and the second day was Yom Sheni, was Monday. So in order not to make a toast with the Tzedukim, they made the Nusach different. And even though that only applied to the first week, once they did it like that, they kept it parallel and consistent, and went through the rest of the Omer like that. But in any case, the Nusach is Mashma, that you're not counting each individual day, but you're counting the accumulation of days. I was thinking, according to that, to explain the two different nuschos in how we count the Omer, even though it's not ma'akiv at all. Ba'omer or la'omer. If the idea is to count each day separately, then it's ba'omer. Within the day, in the Omer period, I'm counting this day. But if it's an accumulation of all the days, then I count La Omer. This is 2 days La Omer, 3 days La Omer, 4 days accumulation from the beginning of the Omer and on. It's not in the Omer, it's to the Omer. Okay. It also answers another question. And until this year, I didn't see anybody else who asked this question. Somebody showed me that Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky asked the question. He gives an answer. I think that the answer I'm going to tell you, based on what I'm saying, is a better answer. The day we count at the beginning of the day. Okay, last night we counted 24. It wasn't the end of the 24 days. It was the beginning of the 24 days. The week we count at the end of the week. Right? Hayom shiva yomim shem shavu echad. Why don't we count the week parallel to the day? The first day we should have said, this is one day which will be 1 week in the Omer. It's the beginning of the week, just like the beginning of the day. So why do we count the week at the end of the week and the day at the beginning of the day? So he says, he asked the Kashataka, and he says, because by the days, it says, Shiva, what's it called? It says, Tisperu Hamishim Yom. So the Sphira is the beginning. And by the Shavuos, it says, Shiva Shavuos Tisperloch. The counting is after the Shavuos. So to fit the Psukim, the Chorah, that's it's a nice teretz, but I'll tell you what I think the teretz really is based on this. If Ein Hachinami, every day is a mitzvah to count that day, then there's no difference between counting the day at the beginning of the day or counting the week at the beginning of the week. And the kasha is a kasha. But if the idea is counting the accumulation of all the days till then, or all the weeks till then, so there's a halacha of mitzvah sayom kikulo. So I can say at the beginning of the day, I accumulated 3 days. Right? On the third day, as soon as the third day starts, so mikta sayom kikulo, I've accumulated 3 days. I could say that at the beginning of the day. But I can't say at the beginning of the week, I accumulated three weeks at the beginning of the third week. Because I haven't. There's no din of mikta sashavua kishavua. When can I say I've accumulated 3 weeks? At the beginning of the seventh day of that week. Then mikta sayom kikulo, so it's, I've already got that day, plus I've accumulated 6 days of that week also, so now I can say I've accumulated 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever. So I can't count an accumulation of weeks until the end of the week, but I can count the accumulation of the days at the beginning of that day that I'm counting. And also explains the name of the holiday that is at the end of the 7 weeks, Shavuos, because it's not one day; it's the accumulation of 7 weeks. Right? With that also, Lechora, you can explain a little bit why we don't count the 50th day. Tisperu Hamishim Yom means count the days that will accumulate you 50 days. Not count 50 separate days. If it was 50 separate days, then Erchanami should count the 50th day too. But if the idea is you count the accumulation of days that will accumulate you 50, then by counting 49, the next day is automatically an accumulation of 50 days.
Do we say Mikzah Yom Kikula even by the night or only from the beginning?
Yeah, you say the Mikzah Yom Kikula we say sometimes by night, sometimes by day, sometimes by the halacha, but there is such a saga. Okay, with this, I want to now go into, there's not a halacha shir, but based on this concept of Sfiras HaOmer, that you're not counting the day, but you're counting the accumulation of all the days, I want to now start to shift to the Hashkothic ideas of Sfiras HaOmer. It's all supposed to be the other way. That's all. He holds us a day, each day is a separate day to itself. But according to the Bahag, this is the idea. It also answers the following question. One of the inyanim of Sfiras HaOmer, the original Sfiras HaOmer, was to go from Memtesh Shari Tumah, which they left when they left Mitzrayim. Right? So now, Pashtus, they were now on a level of zero, and they had to get to Memtesh Shari Tahara. Right? Lechora, it would seem that it's easier to go from level 1 to level 2 than to go from level 48 to 49. Right, when you're getting those high levels, the differences are so subtle, it's much, much harder, right, to go from 48 to 49 than from 1 to 2. So how could it be that in 49 days you're able to go 49 levels? Each day is the same thing. Now, could be that enochinami, it's much easier to go from 1 to 2. So if you go from 1 to 2, you only need koach of one day. To go from 2 to 3 is a little more difficult. But you don't have one day from 2 to 3. You have the koach of 2 days getting you to 3. Because you're accumulating all the days together. When you go from 48 to 49, you're not going one day to from 48 to 49. You're going from 48 days of koach to the 49th day. So in Hanami, it's much, much more difficult. But as it gets more difficult, you accumulate more koach to be able to get to the next madrega. With this also, we like to explain the Avelus for Talmidei Rabbi Akiva and what happened with them and why it's not just coincidental that it happened during Sfira, but it's part of the inyan of Sfira itself. I'd always like to explain that if we're mourning for Talmidei Rabbi Akiva because a tragedy happened in Jewish history, there are a lot of tragedies we don't mourn. Yanai HaMelech killed out all the Talmidei Chachom of his door except for Shimon ben Shetach. Hordus HaMelech, beginning of Bava Basra, killed out all of the Talmidei Chachom except for Bava ben Buta. We don't mourn for them, not even 1 hour. We don't even know when it happened. And for Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, not the Sanhedrin, not the Chachomim, the Talmidim, we mourn for 33 days. The mourning for tragedies we do on Tisha B'Av. All the tragedies of Jewish history are part of Tisha B'Av. But the mourning for Talmidei Rabbi Akiva is because it specifically has an inyan to Sfiras HaOmer, and mourning for them strengthens our Sfiras HaOmer. I have many ways of understanding that, but based on this concept, I want to say the following. It's a Messias that there's an inyan of Yeridus HaDoros. And each door goes down, since we're going from a point of Mesorah. So the Mesorah naturally gets weaker as you go farther down. There are certain doros where the Yerida is not a normal Yerida from one door to the other, but much more intense, much more marked. For instance, the Keset Mishnah says, why is it that an Amora can't argue on a Tana? There were many generations of Tanoim, and the later generations of Tanoim can argue on the earlier generations of Tanoim, right? But there was a door that made the line of demarcation between Tanoim and Amoraim. Rav was on the border. Rav was a Tana, and he was an Amora. But everybody else in that generation already was an Amora, couldn't argue on the people of the generation before. Because the Mishnah says they were makabal on themselves. Once they were chosen the Mishnah, that they saw, basically, he doesn't say it openly, but they basically saw their madrega. They saw that for whatever reason, the yerida from the door before them till them was so great that they had no more koach to argue. The same thing happened at the end of the Gemara, from the Amoroyim to the Rabbonon Savaroy, or to the Gaonim. And the yerida was a tremendous yerida. It went down more than just one door. So in Hanami, the yerida of one door at a time could be 10 doros, that the last door could still argue on the first door. But once the yerida is so marked, that next door can't argue on the ones before. It stands to reason that the door that was still around by the Beis HaMikdash, and the door after Churban Beis HaMikdash, the yerida was a tremendous yerida. And that was Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were the first door after Churban Bayis Sheni. And they looked at themselves and they said, we're nothing compared to the door before us. We're like midgets and they're like giants. And therefore, because of that, three things happened, which Chazal say were the chait of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. The most famous is what the Gemara says, that lo nohagu kovet zebezeh, marin yavamas. Yeah? Lo nohagu kovet zebezeh. Which doesn't mean that they were noheg shalo b'kovet. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say nohagu shalo b'kovet. Lo nohagu kovet means they didn't give each other the full amount of respect they deserved. Not that they disrespected each other. That's the first thing. Second thing it says in a medrash, a nehem tsara b'torosa. They were stingy with their Torah. Right? A nehem tsara b'torosa. We'll see a little bit different meaning. But Sarasai means, and that fits in with the last thing that the Gemara says, that Rabbi Akiva told his last five Talmidim, the ones that he had in the end of his life, after the 24,000 died. He said, don't be like my first Talmidim. They didn't go and fill Eretz Yisrael with Torah. You go out and spread Torah to all of Eretz Yisrael. So that was another chesor in Talmid Rabbi Akiva. They didn't spread their Torah to Klal Yisrael. And that fits in with Einehem Tzara B'Torosom. They had Tzara's eye and they were stingy with their Torah. They didn't go and share it with others. I want to say that what it means is the following. Talmid Rabbi Akiva were not machshir themselves properly, because they looked at the generation before, who were around when there was a Beis HaMikdash, and their stature was much greater than theirs, because the Churban Beis HaMikdash caused a tremendous Yiridus HaDoros, and therefore they didn't feel that their Torah was worth anything, or that they were anything compared to the people before. So therefore, Lo Nagu Kovet Zebezeh. They didn't give each other the full measure of Kovet they deserved, because they didn't feel they deserved it. They felt that they were midgets. So they gave each other the covet of a Torah midget, but not a Torah giant. We'll see in 1 second what the mistake was. The Chora, they were right. And therefore, that's shot a Nehem Tzara B'Torosam. They had a narrow view of their Torah. That's a Nehem Tzara. Not they were stingy, but they had a narrow view of how important their Torah was. They compared it to the Torah of the generation before. They said, our Torah is worth nothing. It's nothing compared to them. And the Mela, they didn't go and fill Eretz Yisrael with Torah. Why in the world does Eretz Yisrael need our Torah? What are we going to spread? Our Torah. It was all came from the same source. They didn't feel they were important as they were. And because of this, looking to what was the door before. Okay, fine. So maybe they were right. What was the mistake? There's a Mabit, famous Mabit, in Sefer Beis Elokim. He asked the following question. He says, we daven Mashiach should come. What kind of chutzpah is that? Right? Nevi'im daven that Mashiach should come. Didn't come. Right? Tanoim daven. Amoroim daven. They didn't come. They didn't get answered. Do we think we're going to get answered? He says, the question will be a question if any one door's tefillahs were going to bring Mashiach. But it's not like that. It's the accumulation of all the doros and all the tefillahs that will bring Mashiach. So they accomplished 99.99% of what has to be accomplished. We have 0.01% to accomplish. We could do that too. And he gives a marshal. He says a midget is a midget. And compared to the giant, he's nothing. But if the midget is standing on the giant's head, he can reach where the giant can't reach because he's higher than the giant. Because he's standing on the giant. So enachinami, as individuals, our tefillahs are nothing compared to the tefillahs of the people before us. But our tefillahs aren't separate. They're connected and on top of the tefillahs of every other door. So we can go that little extra bit that has to be done. That was the Tosa of Talmid Rabbi Akiva. Enochinami, you're a midget. Compared to the door before, your Torah is nothing. But your Torah is not looked upon as a separate thing. Your Torah is the accumulation of all the doros. So you are a hemshech of those doros. You're standing on the giant's head. So you're a little bit even higher than the giant. And that's why they made a mistake. They didn't realize this inyan of hitstabrus, of accumulation, which is a mitzvah, Sfiras Omer, according to the Baal. That's what Sfiras Omer is. Accumulating all these days and not looking at it as separate things. They didn't understand that. And Mamela, they couldn't be Mosrei HaTorah. They were supposed to be the ones to give over Torah Shabbat Peh. The last five Talmidim, Reb Meir, Reb Shimon, whatever they were, each Safra, Sifri, is Aliba Safra, Rabbi Yehuda, Vakulam Aliba Rabbi Akiva. They were the Mosrim of Torah Shabbat Peh. If you don't understand that you're a Hemshech of all the Doros before, then you can't be the Mosrim of Torah Shabbat Peh. That's why they had to die. But that's the Inyan. The Inyan is they didn't understand the idea of Sfiras HaOmer, at least according to the Baha'i. And I want to explain a medrash based on this. The medrash says Rabbi Akiva was giving a drasha, and the Talmidim began to go to sleep. Right? They were menamning. And Bikesh La'orim, Rabbi Akiva wanted to wake them up. So he said to them, Marosa Esther, Shemolcha Almeh V'yesen V'sheva Medinos. What did Esther see that enabled her to rule over 127 Medinos? Tavo Esther Basbita Shalsara Shechaisa Meh V'yesen V'sheva Shonim V'timloch Almeh V'yesen V'sheva Medinos. So So they all woke up. What the kesher between Esther's May of the Esther Vesheva Medinos and Sarah's May of the Esrim Vesheva Shonim, Sarah's Shonim, and Rabbi Kiva went on. So what's going on over here? Wanted to say that this medrash exactly says what I just said. Rabbi Akiva wasn't stam giving a drasha. Rabbi Akiva yadorish. Rabbi Akiva was demanding things from his talmidim. Be dynamic. Right? They thought themselves to be nothing. So bikshu lenamne. Nimnum doesn't mean that we're going to sleep. The Gemara says menamne is tir velo tir, er velo or. You're awake, you're not awake. You can answer. If somebody asks you, you can answer. But you can't be dynamic to initiate a conversation. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim said, our Torah's worth nothing. We're not going to be dynamic, active, proactive. People come and ask us, whatever, we'll be glad to teach them. But for us to go out and spread our Torah, whatever, is not shy. So, Bikesh La'orah, Rabbi Akiva wanted to wake them up, to tell them that they're making a mistake. What was his lesson to them? You know, Esther could have the same time as you. You're the first door after Churban Bayis Sheni. Esther was the first door after Churban Bayis Rishon. She could have felt the same way you did. I'm nothing. Compared to the generation before, these were giants. I'm a midget. And therefore, she could have been totally inactive and accomplished nothing. But Esther was able to rule over 127 Medinos and save Klal Yisrael. What gave her the incentive to realize that she's somebody, even though she's the first door of after Churban Bayis Rishon? What did she see? She saw Sarah Imenu. She saw that she's not a separate entity to herself. She's a hemshech from all the Doros from Sarah Imenu. She's a midget, but she's standing on the shoulders of giants from Sarah Imenu. And just like Sarah Imenu, right, lived 127 years. That doesn't, every year of a person's life is not a separate thing. It's an accumulation of all the years. Sarah built on her years. That's why it says by Sarah, right, Shnei Chai Sarah, Kulam Shavim Latova. They all were equally for the good. Doesn't mean they all were equally good, because they weren't. If you look at them separately, the 90 years that Sarah was barren wasn't equally good with the years that she had Yitzchak. The night she was dragged to Paro wasn't equally good with the day they celebrated Yitzchak's bris. They weren't equally good individually. But Kula, if you look at them as a totality of everything, Shavim Latova, they equal good. Because Sarah Imenu, all the different periods of her life, accumulated to a life of tmimus. That's what the Medrash says over there, Yodea Hashem, Yemei Tmimim. That's tmimus. Tmimus is, and that's what the Bahag says, tmimus is where you accumulate everything, it's one accumulation. So if you look at Sarah's life as separate things, then there are good times or bad times. But if you look at it as the accumulation of all the different occurrences, they all went to make a tmimistic life of kulam shavim latova. The equals, the shavim, is latova. That's how you have to look at life. And Esther understood that. Just like you look at life, not as separate years, but as the accumulation of all the years and all of the occurrences and all of the things that a person experiences, then you look at Klal Yisrael as the accumulation of all the doros. And Elchanami, I'm a midget. But I'm a midget standing on the shoulders of all the Doros from Sarah Imenu. That's what gave her the koach to go on. You're the same way. If she could be proactive, even though she was the first generation after Churban Bayis Rishon, you can be proactive also. And that's how everything works. All the midos, right, that the Mesillas Yesharim is one built on the other, and not separate things. First you have Torah. Torah comes to Zrizus, and if you have Zrizus, then you can build on that. Zahirus, you can build on Zrizus, and so on and so on. It's all an accumulation, right? I was thinking for that reason, there's 48 kinyone HaTorah. They're also not separate things, but they build on each other. They're an accumulation of all the different things. And therefore, we have 48 things during Sfira, but there's a 49th day. The 49th day is to see the accumulation, work on each one separately, build up, but the Iker is then to see them all as one totality and look at them as one accumulation, not as separate things. So that was the Tos of Talmid Rebbe Akiva, and their Tos was based on a misunderstanding or not understanding of what Shvira is all about. That I want to explain also in Parshas Emor, where Taka speaks about Shvira Homer. So it says Eilam Moadei Hashem, and it mentions Shabbos first. So the Gemara asks, "Mayni Shabbos Eitzelam Moadim?" So the Medrash says two things. One is that somebody who is not Shomer Shabbos, Mechal Shabbos is K'Mechal HaMoadim, and somebody's Mechal HaMoadim is like Mechal Shabbos. They're intertwined, meaning Shabbos and Moadim are not two separate things. Again, here you don't look at things as just separate entities, but they're an accumulation of things. Shabbos gives you the foundation that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam who created the world. Moed builds on that not only did the Ribbono Shel Olam create the world and he exists, but he's involved in the world. That's Moadim. If you don't believe that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam who created the world, then you can't believe in Moadim. It's like Mechal Moadim. But the opposite is also true. If you don't build on that idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists and created the world, that he's involved in the world, then his creation of the world is irrelevant. That's a past thing. So that's why the Or Chaim from the Rosh says somebody who doesn't believe in Asher Seisicha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim doesn't believe in Anochi Hashem Elokecha either, because you have an irrelevant God. He's not involved. So he in the past created the world and he exists, fine. So what does that do with me? But if he's involved on an ongoing basis with the world, which is what Moed teaches, then the Shabbos is significant. So if you don't keep Moed, Shabbos is insignificant. If you don't have Shabbos, then Moadim are insignificant, because you don't look at them as separate entities. You look at them as an accumulation, one to the other. And I wanted to say, since you asked about Yom HaTzmaut, since that happened, the week of Yom HaTzmaut, that's a big mistake that those who established this state, this country, and who continue it make. They're basically the secular Zionism feels that all of the years of Gaulus didn't exist. They're meaningless. And the Jewish people basically were reborn in 1948. That was it. They don't have a history. And a nation that doesn't have a past doesn't have a future. And they have no past. Right? They don't realize that Jewish history is a continuation and accumulation of all the Doros. And Gaulus also, right, added something to what Klal Yisrael is. The Jewish people were not born in 1948, right, or reborn in 1948. It's a Hemshech HaDoros. If you understand that, then you understand what the anchor is and what the Mesorah is and what you have to continue, right? And Torah and Mitzvahs is part of all of that. It's not the Ikar of all of that. But if you don't understand that, you think that the Jewish people were born anew, so Zionism and Hebrew and the land of Israel, that's all you need. You don't have any Mesorah. And if you don't have a past, you don't have a future either. Or a present. So that Jewish, is...
From Bria Sol in 1948 is when Avraham Avinu was born.
Yeah, somebody mentioned it. What's it called? That's a different 1948, right? So that, I think, is an interesting perspective. It has a lot of hashlachos, this concept of looking at things as individual things or looking at them as an accumulation of all the things from beginning to end and seeing the totality of them and realizing how each thing builds on something else. That's the way a person has to see life. And that was the Tos of Talmid Rabbi Akiva.
Is being a midget on giant shoulders, is that a mila, or is that just a way of a perspective of looking at life?
No, it's a mila. If you understand that you are based on the giant, it's a mila. If you understand that the giant gives you a maimed, right, and you're connected to that giant, here's even more than just a midget on the giant. But you're part of that, you're a growth on top of that giant. You're part of the giant himself. Then it's a mila in you too.
But you don't know what the giant knows. You don't know how he got there.
It doesn't make a difference, because that's as an individual. But we're talking about as a hemshech of all the Doros, you're a little bit more than all the Doros. You're connected to them, plus you have what you have.
How can you be more than them if you don't understand them?
You don't have to understand them. You're a hemshech from them. You're a hemshech from them. As an individual, you're a midget. So your Torah is nothing compared. You can't argue on the ones who came before. But your Torah is a hemshech of theirs. In that respect, there's a mila to your Torah that it includes all of theirs plus what you have. You have to understand it. Adrabba, it's not you. It's the fact that you're a hemshech from all of that. That's a mila.
Yes, I don't understand. How can you, if your Torah itself is built on their Torah, that means you're...
Yes, so the Torah that's built on their Torah, right, includes their Torah too. You have everything, what's it called? It's Achram, who says the Svara, is based on Gemara, on the Mishnah, on everything that came before him. His Svara may not be as great as the Svara that's in the Gemara, but it's a Hemshech of that. So it has behind it all of that. That makes it great, Legabe, the whole cloud. It doesn't make it great if you take it apart as something, as a separate thing. So you have both milas. You have the mila of itself is Yorud. The mila of the Hemshech is an addition to that. It adds on to what came before. It's an addition. Okay. Any questions more on this? That's pretty much the Indian.